Today feels really heavy. You know, Pastor Jack and Shelley are still on vacation. They didn't know the events that would transpire this past week when they asked me to preach over a month ago. But God knew. God knew. And so I want to thank Pastor Jack and Shelley for the opportunity to share my heart with you all today. I never take an opportunity like this lightly, especially not on a day like today. Especially not on a day like today. And I have to be really honest with you, church. My heart is heavy, and my spirit is grieved within me. As most of you know, so many terrible things have taken place in our world just this past week alone. There was school shootings. There was an innocent woman who was stabbed on a bus. There was an assassination on a Christian political figure named Charlie Kirk. His life was taken from him in front of the world for all the world to see on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. We were never meant to see those kinds of things. And yet, the division and the hatred that is stirring in our country right now is palpable. It's tangible. And my heart is heavy because I can see the enemy at work. And I want to make something very clear to you, church. This is not a political issue. This is not about Democrats versus Republicans. This is not about right versus left. This is not about them versus us and their beliefs versus my beliefs. It is about none of those things today, church. It is a sin issue. It is a matter of good versus evil. That is what we are up against. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, we have been at war for our souls. This is a sin issue. And Ephesians 6:12 warns us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Can I tell you something today, church? The devil is not a cute little guy who sits on your shoulder poking at you. Hey, go do this bad thing. No, the enemy is real and he is after your hearts and after your souls. He wants to keep you away from the one true living God. He does not want to see you be free. He does not want to see you in eternity with heaven. He wants to drag you to hell where he is. And the reason that I feel so heavy is because all week long I've been weeping before the Lord. God, why did you choose me this week to speak? And I've been grieved for each and every one of you. I've been praying over you. I've been praying over the body of Christ. I've been praying over believers. I've been driving past churches and stretching out my hands, praying for peace and protection and for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because my heart's desire is to see God move like never before. My heart is to see the dead raised to life in Jesus Christ. My heart is to see broken families restored through the power of Jesus. My heart is to see the addict free, and that is the heart of God. So as I've been praying for you guys, I just have this fire in my soul this morning that I can't shake. And I just have a mandate from heaven to share with you all today that it's time to wake up, sleepers. It is time to wake up from our slumber. We cannot be cute Christians anymore playing church on Wednesday and Sunday. We cannot do that anymore because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have a mandate and a calling and a command from our holy God in heaven to share his gospel with everyone that we encounter. We cannot afford to just sit idly while everyone else does the work. It is time to wake up, church. Thank you, Jesus. And as I was praying about what today would look like, I kept going back to this. You see, because this is not an old book that was written thousands of years ago for those people back then. No. This is the Word of God, and it is alive, and it is active, and it is God-breathed, and it is sharper than any double-edged sword. If this is sitting on your nightstand collecting dust, you are doing it wrong, church. This is your weapon to fight in this war that we are in. How are you going to fight the enemy when he comes at you if you don't have this word in your heart? You can't. We are powerless without this word in our heart. And so my challenge to you today, church, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the enemy. I'm mad at what he's trying to take from us. I'm mad that he's trying to stop people from opening this book by keeping us distracted by social media, by arguing with one another, by this and by that. I'm mad. I'm angry. Because I know what God has called us to. And he wants this word in your heart. And he wants you to walk it out and live it out. And how can you if you're not even opening it? So today we're going to go through a lot of scripture. If I could, I would sit up here in a chair and I would just read it to you front to back. But we don't have that kind of time. So what I did is I just was led by the Lord, and I picked out some scripture to share with you today on how we should respond as the body of Christ to what we're seeing in today's world. Because I thought to myself, God, what could I possibly have to say? What could I possibly have to say? I don't know, but it's in this book of life, this book that gives us hope. The answers that we're looking for are in this book. If you do not own a Bible, please, please, please see me after church. If you don't own a Bible that you understand, that makes sense to you, come see me after church. I'll make sure that one is delivered to your doorstep tomorrow from Amazon. I want you to know this word, and I want you to have it in your heart. Amen? Let's go to prayer. God, I want to thank you so much for who you are. God, I pray that the word that comes forth this morning would be yours and yours alone, God. Help me to put my own thoughts and my own words and my own desires aside this morning, and may your word come forth with power and authority, God. May you have your way in this place today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So our call to action as believers, the first point I want to make is that we need to humble ourselves and pray. Humble ourselves and pray. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land." It's pretty clear what he wants from us, guys, right? He wants us to come humbly before him, God in heaven. We don't know it all. We don't have all the answers. We don't have it figured out. He wants us to come humbly with our hearts laid out before him. He wants us to pray like we've never prayed before. And listen, prayer doesn't always have to be a fancy thing where you have a prayer closet and all of those things. He just wants you to pray. He just wants you to seek him. The word also says that we find him when we seek him with all of our hearts and with all of our souls and with all of our minds. We will find him when we seek him. And if we will turn from our wicked ways, I want you to ask the Lord today, what is your wicked way? What's the wicked thing that's in your heart? Is it hatred for a brother and sister because they disagree with you? Is it the gossip? Is it the addiction? Is it the thing you do behind closed doors that no one knows about? Is it the way you're just living your life idly? What is the wicked thing that's holding you back from God? See, if we'll turn and repent, repentance means to turn the other way. If we'll turn away from the sin in our life, then our God in heaven will hear us and he will forgive us of all of our sin. There is no sin that is too great that God cannot forgive you of. And then he will heal our land. Do you want God to heal our land? Amen. In Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray at all times, guys. Yes, set aside the time for God to be intimate with him. Set that time aside, but always, always be praying for people. Always be thinking of your brothers and sisters and lifting them up. We can't do this thing alone. We can't fight this battle alone. We need one another. Pray for one another and be persistent in your prayers. Listen, I know that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to or how quickly we want him to, but he is always listening. He is always attentive to your prayers. So do not give up. Do not cease praying. Pray to God. We are powerless without prayer. The enemy loves when we don't pray. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray. The second thing I have is to hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to that hope. He is the anchor for our souls in times of trouble. Amen. Psalm 31:24 says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Be strong, take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. In other words, guys, we got to put on our spiritual eyes. We got to start seeing through the eyes of Christ. We can't continue to look at the situations in our lives and the things that are taking place on this earth through our fleshly eyes, because if we do, we're going to get really discouraged. We're going to be really mad at one another all the time because we're going to look at each other through our fleshly eyes. No, we need to put on the mind of Christ. We need to ask him to give us his eyes that we may see every single person in every single situation that we are facing through his eyes and through his perspective. Because what is unseen is eternal. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. The next point is, let your light shine and do not let your love grow cold. In Matthew 24, 12 through 13, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Listen to me. Do not let the wickedness that you see all around you let your heart grow cold. No. May we have the heart of Christ. May our heart break over the things that break his heart. May we learn to love others as he has called us to love others, because he loved us first when we didn't deserve it. Do not let your love grow cold towards one another. Matthew 5:43-47 says, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Another version says, "You shall be holy just as God in heaven is holy." What good does it do? What kind of love do we show if we only show love to people who love us and who think like we think? That is not the life we're called to live. Bless those who persecute you, and show them the love of God. John 1:5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There is no darkness that can overcome the light of the world, and the light of the world, that is Jesus. And if Jesus is living within us, then we better let that light shine. We better let it shine. Because the darkness is coming, the darkness is here. We need to be the light of Christ. Matthew 11:11-16 says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." If you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have a light that shines bright within you that the world needs to see. Stop hiding it. Stop diminishing it. Stop putting out the power of God within you. No. It's not the time to shrink back. Which leads me to my next point. Do not shrink back in fear. Be bold for Christ. Be bold for King Jesus. Hebrews 10:35-39 says, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. And my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." We do not belong to those who shrink back. Now is not the time to be shy about our faith, church. When we're really passionate about something and we really love something, we make sure we tell everybody about that thing. But why is it that when it comes to our faith, oh, I'm scared. I don't want to offend them with my faith. I don't want to push Jesus on them. Why not? We live in a broken, hurting, and dying world that is waiting to hear the good news. How selfish have we become that we're holding on to that good news for ourselves when there's a hurting, dying world out there? And let me tell you something. Hell is not a made-up place. Heaven is not a made-up place. One day we will spend eternity in either one. And who are we bringing to heaven with us? When is the last time that you shared the gospel with somebody? Whether at work or with a family member or at Target or Walmart or the school pickup line, wherever you have been, when is the last time you told someone about the hope that can only be found in Jesus? You hold the answer that this dark world is looking for. We cannot remain silent. The world is not staying silent about what they think and what they believe. They're very vocal about it. Why are we not rising to the occasion and sharing our faith? Why are we not sharing the truth of God's word? Now is not the time to shrink back. I know it's a scary world out there. I know. But God is greater, and God is calling us to share his gospel. He's commanding us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. He's commanding us to share our faith with somebody. And there's some promises that we can cling to in dark times. One thing is that nothing is wasted with God. Nothing. No thing we go through, no trial we go through, nothing that we ever face, nothing is wasted. He will use it all for his glory. In Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." He works all things for our good. Genesis 50:20 says, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Oh God, I hope that after a week like this week, that churches are full. I hope that after a week like this week, that the enemy thought that we were going to shrink back and stay home and keep quiet. But I hope that people feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit in their hearts to go to church for the first time or come back to church for the first time in a long time. I hope that what the enemy meant for evil, that God will turn it around for good. Amen. And there's nothing that we could ever walk through in our life that God won't use when we give it to him. He turns our tests into testimonies, amen. Our messes into messages, amen. And hell will not prevail. The enemy doesn't have the final word. He doesn't have the final say-so. The prince of darkness, he doesn't have the final say. My God in heaven who sits on the throne, my King of kings and my Lord of lords, King Jesus, he has the final say. He has the final say. And he will do what he intends to accomplish through it all. The next thing is that Christ is a firm foundation for our souls. Matthew 7 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." Psalm 46:1 says, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble." He is our refuge. We can confide in him. We can build our lives upon him, upon his word, upon this truth, upon this gospel, and it will not fail us ever. Isaiah 28:16 says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic." You know that precious cornerstone is Jesus. He is our cornerstone. And when we rely on him, we don't have to react the way the world reacts with panic and fear and chaos and turmoil. What am I going to do and what's going to happen? No. When our life is built on the foundation of Christ, we don't have to be like those who live in fear. We don't have to be like those who don't know which way to go. So what is your foundation built upon today? Is your foundation in your job title, your status, your relationship status, your bank account, your political preferences? What is your life built upon? Because let me tell you, I can promise you that if it's not built upon Jesus, that when the storms of life come, it's gone. It's gone. You don't get to take any of that with you into eternity. The only thing that remains the same yesterday, today, and forever is Jesus. He's the only thing that we need to be building our lives upon. My next point is that Christ suffered for us so that he could suffer with us. 2 Corinthians 1:5 says, "For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ." Romans 5:3-8 says, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And I want you to understand something this morning. One of the lies that the enemy tells us is that if we surrender our lives to Jesus, we will have a life free of pain. It's a lie, because then what happens when pain comes? We get mad at God, like, "How dare you let me go through this thing? How dare you let that happen?" No. Don't you know that the whole gospel is an invitation to not only salvation, but to suffering? We suffer for the sake of Christ, and we do not suffer alone. That is the good news, because when Jesus Christ left the earth, he made sure to send a helper and a comforter called the Holy Spirit that would walk with us and talk with us and comfort us in our time of trouble, so that we would never have to face anything that this world threw away alone. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." I know that's really heavy. I know that probably doesn't make you feel really good, but that's not what I came here to do this morning. We are called to suffer for the sake of Christ. You know that pretty much every disciple that walked this earth with Jesus died a martyr. They died a really gruesome death for the sake of Christ because they weren't willing to back down, because they knew the truth. They knew the truth that Jesus is the Lord, the Messiah, the Savior. And they were not afraid to say it like it was, even if it meant dying. I don't say that to discourage you or to scare you. I just say it as a reminder, because it's not a matter of if we will suffer on this earth, but a matter of when. And I want you to remember that you have a comforter who's been there and done that, who understands your pain and your grief. And suffering has a way of making us pay attention. It puts our eyes back on God and his word. In Psalm 119:71, it says, "My suffering was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your decrees." Sometimes the suffering is good for us so that we can get our eyes back on the one that truly matters. Can I ask the worship team to come up here, please? And I want to end with some really good news. And the really good news is that salvation has come. Salvation is here. Can everyone just stand to your feet for me, please? In Isaiah 51, it says, "My mercy and justice are coming soon. My salvation is on the way. My strong arm will bring justice to the nations. All distant lands will look to me and wait in hope for my powerful arm." See, like I've said, there is an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy on this earth. He doesn't want you to know the truth. And the truth is that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, that he was beaten for your transgressions and your sins, that he was crucified on a cross so that you might live and have eternal life with him, so that you might not spend eternity in hell. But what that also means is that there's good news. And the good news is that Jesus has come to give you life and life more abundantly. A life that this world could never give to you. A life that this world cannot give you. How long are you going to keep turning to the thing that's not satisfying your soul? How many hangovers do you need to wake up with before you realize that that thing is not the thing that's going to deliver you? The thing that is going to deliver you this morning is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And the thing is, guys, the thing that really burdens me is that tomorrow is not promised for anybody. Tomorrow is never promised. In James, it says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone." And we keep saying things like, "Oh, next week I'll stop smoking. Next week I'll stop drinking. Next week I might go back to church. Next week I'll open my Bible. Next week, next time." How do you know? How do you know you have that much time? You do not know. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to invite you. I want to invite you into a life with Christ, because Isaiah 55:6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near." He is near today, guys. He is near to the brokenhearted. He is here in this place. And how dare we walk out those doors the same way that we came in? Especially if we don't know him as our Lord and our Savior. God is moving and he is pouring out his Spirit on his sons and on his daughters. And he invites you. He invites you into eternity with him. Can I have the prayer team come up here? This is what we usually do in church. We usually say, with every eye closed and every head bowed and no one looking around. But no, we're not doing that this morning, church. And here's why. Why are we trying to hide the fact that we love Jesus, the fact that we want him to be our Lord and our Savior? I don't want to hide it anymore. I don't want to play it safe anymore. I want everyone to see you come to this altar and give your life to Christ today. So if that is you this morning, you say, "Savannah, I don't have a relationship with him. I've never had a relationship with him. I don't know him as my Lord and my Savior." Or maybe I did at one point, but I've turned to the things of this world and it's not satisfying my soul. I want you to be bold in your faith this morning, and I want you to come and receive prayer. I want you to receive the gift of salvation because he is here this morning. And if you want to pray quietly without somebody, the altars are open for you this morning. If you want to have a bolder faith, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come this morning. God welcomes you. He invites you into a life more abundantly to give you what this world could never give you. So the worship team's going to sing a song. And while they're singing, I invite you to come receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to come and be filled with the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen. God, we thank you so much for who you are this morning. God, we thank you that you reign upon this earth, God, that there is no other name that can deliver us other than King Jesus Christ. God, may you stir in the hearts of your people this morning. May we be bold. May we be vocal. May we be proud of our faith in you, God. And if there's somebody sitting here today who's scared to come to the front, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. You have no place here. We are not going to shy away anymore. We're going to go all in with our faith. We're going to suffer for your sake, Jesus. May you use us this morning. May you fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. May we never be the same after today, Lord God. And may our light shine in the darkness. May we be the light of the world, Lord God. Draw us closer to you, God. Hear our cry this morning. Help us to surrender whatever it is that we need to lay down this morning. Whatever it is that we need to surrender to you, may our hearts be willing to surrender to you this morning. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, that you have met with us in this place this morning. Thank you, God, that we will never be the same because we've been changed by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, may you challenge us to be bold for you this week. May we tell somebody the good news. May you lay it on our hearts to share the gospel with somebody. May you help us make heaven crowded. May we not be afraid, Lord God, of what the world will say or think or do, God. But may we just be bold for you, God. Let us be a light in this dark world, Lord Jesus. God, and if we've given our hearts to you today for the first time, thank you for salvation, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of salvation that you have freely given to us. Thank you for giving us what the world could never give us, God. Thank you for satisfying the depths of our heart. Thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. Thank you, King Jesus, for who you are in us and through us, Lord God. May this be a mandate that we have today, God, to share the gospel and to be who you've called us to be, God, and to surrender all that we are to you, that we may suffer with you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all God's people said, amen.